All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming this morning. And just offer a couple of quick introductory thoughts, and then we're just going to jump into it. So I just want to share a little bit of maybe me growing up and what I experienced, and then my introduction into this world. You know, I grew up going to public school all 12 years. I didn't even know homeschool was a word until I came to Summit View. And I thought, how do you get the teachers to come to your house? And so that's kind of where I grew up with. And coming into this church, just realizing and seeing a lot of amazing intentionality in the parents of this church to build into their kids, really the heart behind that. And so about 5-6 years ago, we've done a panel in the past. 5-6 years ago, I went to one of these as a young parent myself, a little freaked out because we live in this city of options. And it's not only school of choice, but there's many different types of schools. And so there's kind of two dangers. There'd be a danger if our panel was one couple. And we said, this is your school of, right? This is the option. There's one. There's also a danger in a large panel. Because you say, what am I supposed to pick? What am I supposed to do? I might get country buffet. How many plates can I get? Right? So there is a danger in just offering a one method way. There can be a danger, too, with offering so many ways that you have this analysis paralysis that you get in. And my hope is we don't get there, because I think there is a thread through each one of these families. And I just want to offer you guys, in each one of these families, I see, one, a deep love for Jesus. I see a deep love for Jesus through trial, through years of experience, through what God has brought them in. Each one of these families and each one of these individuals loves Jesus. And so they have that in common. Secondly, they want to see their kids made disciples. They want their kids to own their faith, to launch out into this world on fire for Jesus, whatever that might look like. And then lastly is just this experience that I've had. I was in impact with the middle school and high school families with a lot of these guys for about 5 years. And I got to spend a lot of time with their kids. And I love their kids. I love their families. And I love the culture of their homes. And I love, you know, I've gotten to marry some of their kids and to see them grow. And I just think there's a beautiful thing that is happening in each one of these families. There's a faith in Jesus. And in my heart, our church, I pray we would be families that are for each other. We rejoice with each other. Regardless of differences and whatever we're going on in our lives, the nuances and the details of all that, that we're a church that's for each other. And so when it comes to educational choice, you know, it's coming from a heart that loves Jesus, that wants to see our kids become disciples, launched out into this world. And that's going to look differently. So what you're going to hear from them is a little bit of their story, their faith in God. You know, it's not a method. If you came for the one way, as you can tell, there's not going to just be one way offered. And you're going to hear from these parents in their faith of how God led them into that. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to hand this over, and they're each going to share. We'd love for some time for Q&A, so be thinking. What maybe specific questions you might have. And is this really a conversation? So there's also experience and expertise and thoughts maybe in those that are listening. Feel free to offer those. But let me pray and we'll get started. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I just thank you for every person here, desire to honor you, to seek you. And just pray, God, that you would have our hearts be like putty that can be moldable to you in your spirit. And God, we know that you can work and you are sovereign over so much of life. And if it were just a one method thing, most of us would probably be disqualified. And we just thank you that it's your grace, it's your gospel, it's you, Jesus, that saves, it's you that changes hearts and transforms. And so we look to you this morning. We pray for greater unity and togetherness and being for each other. After this is done this morning, we pray in your name. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to hand it over to the Egans here. And if you guys can just introduce yourselves, maybe age of your kids, and then just share what's going on and how God led you.
All right. I'm Jeff. This is Carrie Egan. We have two kids. Our daughter is Bethany. She's 26 now. Nathan is 24. So we did a combination of... You just kind of want to know background.
Yeah.
Okay. We did a little bit of homeschooling right at the beginning when Bethany was very young. Then the church where we were in California hosted a school on campus. It was a tuition-free private school. It was an outreach to inner-city kids. Kind of a one-room schoolhouse sort of set up, and Carrie started teaching there. So then the kids went with her there. So I guess technically it was homeschool-ish. They used homeschool curriculum. But so it was a fairly unique environment. But I guess if you had to stick it into a category, it would be homeschool / private school setting. And then when we moved to Colorado, the kids were 11 and 13 at that time, and they started going to Heritage Christian. And that's where Nathan completed his school, and then Bethany decided her senior year she wanted to experience public school because she was going into education as a career, and so she felt like, hey, I better experience public school. So she chose to do her senior year at Fossil. And so that's what she did. And then she went on to go to CSU. So she, for her college education, she went to public university. Nathan went to a small Christian liberal arts college in Pennsylvania for his college. And I think that's it. I'll let Carrie share the heart behind that.
Okay. And, you know, we're all up here kind of looking back at our school choices with our kids. And so it's kind of like, yeah, we did this and this and this and this. But when we were walking through it, it was a year by year, huh, what do we do this year? And what are our kids' needs? And so it was very much, okay, we're just kind of feeling our way through this. But in just really understanding that God knows our kids. He gave them to us, and he's got a plan for them. And so far, we want to set them up well. And as we just sought the Lord, each year, he would just open something up. And, you know, like Jeff shared, it was very different. There were different things all the way through. And yet, it kind of flowed because God just opened doors. And so it's not that we were just really smart and knew exactly where to go. It just... God was really smart, and he showed us where to go. But I think in the early years in particular, it was really important. We felt like just having a real strong influence in our kids' lives. And the public schools in California were horrible, and we didn't even think twice about sending our kids to public schools. And so they were doing great at home, and just kind of flowed right into some that homeschooling. But then this opportunity for ministry came up with these inner city kids, and it was a beautiful ministry. And our kids were, I think, pretty much the only white kids in the school. It was mostly Southeast Asian and Hispanic and African American, coming from very rough homes and some very scary homes. And yet, being in that environment where it was a Christian setting and we were sharing with these kids about Jesus, even though they were surrounded by kids that in some settings could have maybe a bad influence on our kids and we could be really worried about that, the way that it was set up was that the underlying foundation there was Christ-centered. And so then it was like being able to bring all these other kids into that world and yet having our kids see and experience the lives that these other kids had that was very different. And yet being able then to take those things home and say, okay, what do you want to do? You know, what do you think about that? And, you know, this is going on in their homes and, you know, maybe ugly things, and yet being able to talk about it together was just a beautiful experience. And I think all the way through, as we made different choices, we really tried to be as much a part of our kids' lives in their schools as possible. You know, if there was opportunities to volunteer at the Heritage School to help take kids on field trips, we would do it. You know, so any place we could be involved, that way we knew what was going on and we could just help them process through whatever was going on in their schooling. All right.
I found a good way to be involved in my kids' education. My name's Torgan Lovely. I have two children. I'm Hannah's dad. Hannah's a sophomore in high school, and I'm Matthias's dad. He is an eighth grader in junior high. I kind of am coming at this panel in two different ways a little bit. A little bit of my background. I'm a professional educator. I went to CSU and got my degree in mathematics education. But while I'm just going to give you kind of a little bit of my backstory here, so you maybe understand my perspective a little bit. As I was taking classes at CSU, education classes at CSU, I was learning the educational methods, the educational philosophy that was being taught to me, but something seemed off. I would get very frustrated with my teachers, with what I was reading, with what I was learning, because I understand better now why I was so frustrated at the time. I could not have articulated why I was so frustrated at the time. But there seemed to be a different philosophical bent. There was a different undergirding. There was a different worldview that was behind what I was learning. But I love math, and I love working with kids, and I love teaching math. I feel like I'm good at it. I like it. I enjoy it. And so I continued down that path. My first year out of college, I was fortunate to have an opportunity to teach at Heritage Christian, to teach in a private Christian setting. And it was spectacular. It really was wonderful to be able to teach kids about faith and about math and be involved in their lives at the same time. It was fantastic. The problem was I think my starting salary was $14,000. So it just, you know, no insurance benefits. It was just, it was brutal. So I made the transition to teach into the public area. And I subbed for a year in the district, and I taught for 2 years at a public middle school. But that same frustration came back, that same tension of how I viewed the world versus how it seemed like the system was set up for me to be successful as a teacher. And something was off, and I couldn't articulate why. I just was frustrated. So then I took an 8-year hiatus, and I worked in the professional business world, but I just really missed teaching. At the same time, got married, had a family, and we were in the throes of finding a school for our children. And so we went through the search. I had in the back of my mind, I've been a member of this church since 1991. And so I had in the back of my mind that we were going to homeschool. I was a public educator. We were going to homeschool our children because that's what good some of you families do. Just being honest. For good reasons. I appreciated all the reasons and all of the reasons why. And I saw the reasons why on a daily basis. But I had a friend that taught at a charter school. I'm like, I'd never heard of a charter school. I didn't know what that was. And so we started investigating. We went to some different public information nights for 3 schools in town. It turns out we got on their lottery, and we got calls for all 3. But I was really excited about one because, as part of the search, I read a couple books. It was really foundational for me. The 2 books were The Schools We Need and Why We Don't Have Them by Edie Hirsch and Why Johnny Can't Tell Right From Wrong. Those 2 books, as I read them, my heart started beating faster, and I got so excited because I'm like, that's why I've been so frustrated. That's the exact reason. And so as a professional educator and as a parent, I felt like I found the philosophy of a school system that agreed with my personal educational philosophy and my philosophy as a dad on what I wanted for my kids. And so we accepted the spot at Liberty Common. A month later, a job opened up there for a math teacher, and I applied, and I got hired to teach at the very same school. So Hannah got in first, and then I got a job offer to be the math teacher. And so I've been there for 11, this is my 11th year at the school. The first six were spent as the math specialist. The next four and a half were spent as the assistant principal. And so now I'm the principal of the high school. So I'm the principal at Liberty Common High. And I still teach math because I love it. And if I could coach, I would coach because I just love being involved in young people's lives. But I think what I think is the most important for parents, the two most important questions for parents to consider is, what's the purpose of education? What's the point? What are you doing? Why get an education? This notion of a compulsory education through 12th grade is historically a relatively new notion. That has not been common throughout history. We're in a little bit of a unique time in history where kids stay in our houses till they're 18 and then they go off into higher education. That's almost like the expectation, but that certainly isn't how it's been over the last thousands of years. What's the purpose? And then once you figure that out and you choose a system to educate your kids, it's really important to consider, what's the philosophy of that system? What's the philosophy behind that system? So whether you're going to go to a private Christian school, you're going to go to a public charter school, you're going to go to a public neighborhood school, you're going to homeschool, whatever it is that you're going to do, it's really, and there are dozens, probably hundreds of different homeschooling models. Just saying that you're going to homeschool doesn't even mean anything. That means nothing, because there are specific ways in which you can homeschool, and there's classical conversation. There's a ton of different methods to homeschool. But those two questions, I think, I think are really important. For me, as a parent, the purpose of education for me with my kids is to give them freedom. I just want my kids to be free, and I want them to have options and choices in their life after they're out of my house. I want to build a body of knowledge. I want them to receive a body of knowledge that then they can build upon, and that doesn't shut any doors in their face. Because when I was going through college, I had a bunch of friends. They wanted to go and do different stuff, but they didn't have the background, the educational background. They didn't get the foundational concepts that they needed to do. I had a buddy, he wanted to go to med school, but he couldn't pass calculus to save his life. It just broke my heart. And so, I want my kids to have freedom. And then I want my, I don't want the worldview that I want to give my kids, I don't want my authority to be usurped as a parent. I don't want an educational system that's going to try to convince my children that God doesn't exist and that that worldview is futile. That's important to me. And so, so those two things, for those two reasons, I think that's why we settled on Liberty. Because it was a rigorous academic program that was going to give our children a strong academic focus, building knowledge and giving them opportunities after they left our home, and then it was not going to usurp our authority as parents. That's the universal truth that we agree to at Liberty, is it is the right and responsibility of parents to direct the education and upbringing of their children. And no school should undermine that, ever. And that's not common. in different educational systems. So that being said, we did feel as though it's early on in the kids' education, we felt a strong call that God did call us to homeschool our children. So we pulled our kids out of Liberty for 3 years, homeschooled them, and then put them back in because we felt like that's what God wanted us to do. So I can let Kathy maybe share a little bit of her heart behind that journey.
It's not common that your school is called Liberty Common.
There's a reason, and we can get into that
school
later.
It's Liberty Common because it's a common education, but it's tuition-free. So to give everybody that choice to have that education despite or regardless of economic means. So yep, I'm Kathy, and the heart behind it, I did not want to homeschool, even though I've been in this church since 1994. But once again, that was what I was, of course, going to do. But my heart was did not desire it at all. And in all honesty, probably because of fear of that I probably couldn't do a good job. I'm a very active person, and so I couldn't envision just being in my house every day, all day. But a lot of reasons behind that. But once again, I felt as if right before we decided to do that, the summer before, Hannah started Liberty, Torgan and I, or I apologize, I'll go back. So she did start Liberty, as he said, but each year that was kind of similar to what Carrie said. Each year we decided, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? And so, it was actually a shock to me when we felt that he called us to put her in a charter school. But we both felt it and we're at peace. And I think I walked through some insecurities of what would people think. It was very rare in this church for people to not be homeschooling, but that was part of his journey for me to just have my eyes on him and not and walk through if anybody else thought anything and just be in obedience to him in that and be at peace in that. And him, once again, knowing my two kids, that was a great, glorious thing. And then each year again, we'd ask, what do you want us to do? And yes, here. And then after, as Torgan said, after the third year, individually, he put on both of our hearts separately, I want you to homeschool. And I cried. I'm like, no. but yes, Lord. And he confirmed it in different ways. And so then we brought them home. And then the second year we asked the Lord, and I don't remember the exact specifics, but I think we were leaning, we felt as if at first that perhaps we were supposed to put them back in Liberty. And I actually cried because I didn't want to stop homeschooling them. So that was a glory that God had worked on my heart. And showed me that. But then he ended up having us have them home for 3 years and then put them back in. My thoughts on it are, as Torgan said, it's our God-given responsibility and to use whatever educational tool, system as a tool to what he wants us to do, and anything without faith is sin, as the Bible says. So going in faith and trust him to just lead it and perpetually be asking him and be fully engaged. Like the Egan said, I'm thankful our school is extremely needy and a proponent of volunteers. So engaged all the time, involved in there. And I'm very blessed that Torian is there at the high school with both my kids. Because that's, I think we have a little insight into what's going on, and they're friends on a different level than a lot of parents. But I think if God calls anyone to put them outside the home, then just be involved, whether your husband works there or not. But I think, yeah, that's probably going to be the thing, is just being very intentional and involved and seek the Lord. And even per kid, it might not be the same for each kid. And then no formulas, and just ask the Lord for your kid and what season and what year and what moment, and trust Him. It's not a just, He can keep making mid-course corrections and be at peace. And if the decision today, that's not the decision for the next 18 years. It's this month, this year, this day. So.
Hi, my name is Paul Van Ryn. This is my wife, Jana. We have two children. We have Gabrielle, who's 11, and Ashton, who's 9. Our kids do go to public school. One of them goes to the local public school, middle school, Gabrielle does, and then Ashton goes to another public school in Fort Collins. But just a little bit of our background. I grew up going to public school in central Illinois. I rode the bus for over an hour at some points because it was farm community and you just had to drive forever. I felt I had a really good education, and I felt like I had a strong background from my parents to be able to deal with some of the, even at the time, the challenges that the world views would be presented to us, because obviously people have been shifting that in the education sector for a long time. But Jan and I just had really felt, as we talked about it, and she'll share a little bit of her background, a couple things came to mind as we were engaging with the concept of where we should send our kids to school and what was going on with that. One of them was from John 17:15, which is the idea of where Jesus is talking about asking not to take His children out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. And we really took that personally and looked at that and said, you know, we definitely feel like that's, if Jesus can pray that for His kids, then so could we. And that doesn't mean that anybody, we're not saying this at the mutual exclusion of anybody else here. We're just saying that that was something that we really felt God could do for us and our kids in a public school setting. And the second thing that was a big deal for us is that early on, I think it was in our time here, we were going through a book by George Barna, Raising Your Children to Be Spiritual Champions. And in the book, it's very statistical, but one of the things that he presents is that by the time your child is 13, it's like their worldview is a set in concrete. And so we personally felt that not allowing our kids to go to a public school would be to keep them out of the richest mission field they would ever see. And so those two things together were something that we felt in our family God had put in our hearts to try and allow us to go and walk through. As it's been borne out, and our kids are not fully grown yet, but as it's been bearing out, we also have had, to what both of the couples have shared before, the strong sense of, we are the ones that are ultimately responsible for the education our kids get. So we don't abandon our kids to the school. We don't say, you know, that teacher went to school and they got their thing, and so we're just going to trust that it's all good on them. We actually have a very different philosophy than that, and we advocate very much being involved as much as possible. I still, to this day, go and push kids on the swings before school every day at Ashton's elementary school, and I don't know who they are. But I'm just there pushing the kids, trying to be a positive Christian influence there in their world, just so that they can see that there's somebody there and somebody who cares about them. And then, obviously, being involved with that. So that was, I think, one of the underlying principles of how we could say, you know, isn't it kind of scary, or isn't it kind of, yeah, it is. I mean, there's no education system that's going to get your kid to solid walk with Christ without God doing a work in their heart as well. And so it's just, there is that element of faith in how you get to it.
I'll just hold it. So here's a little backstory. For me, my parents both worked in the public schools. My dad was an English teacher in high school, and my mom worked as a para in elementary school. However, from preschool through second, I was in a private Christian school, and I think they just desired to put my sisters and myself in that setting initially, but they always intended to transfer us over to public school, which we each did in third grade as it came. So I personally have always had a heart for public school. It's my experience from third grade up, and I just always viewed it as a great opportunity to be a light in a dark world. I don't know if it was middle school as much, but for sure high school. I remember being involved in a Bible study. I was very involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, heavily involved with the prayer at the flagpole, those kind of things that, you know, were definitely an influence in the public schools. So something that has personally, as a mother, really meant a lot to me, just even looking at Scripture, is there are two examples in the Bible of mothers who entrusted their young children to someone else's care and learning at a young age. So Hannah, with Samuel, she entrusted him to Eli at a very young age. And then also Jochebed with Moses, even though that one was felt probably a little more forced. But she, instead of him dying, she entrusted him to the Egyptians, and he interestingly had a very secular education, and yet it's pretty awesome to see how God used both of those men to do amazing things for his purposes. So that, again, as a mother and just looking at those examples, it gives me courage and hope that, you know, yes, my kids will encounter plenty that's not great, but I have faith and hope that they, with their strength of character, that they can overcome that and also be an influence where they are. They're, like Paul was saying, it takes great intentionality as parents in this setting to be involved, know the teachers, know the classmates, know the dynamic of what, you know, what your child is like in that setting. Are they able to stand up against some of the pressures, or do they succumb to it? But being involved, volunteering, just knowing the principal, it's kind of neat. In our one of the elementary schools, the one that Gabrielle was in for the full time, the principal and the vice principal and the janitor, they're all believers. One of Gabrielle's teachers is a believer, and she would play this song by Mandisa, which is a Christian artist. Every morning she'd play it. It's like, good morning, or whatever. And it was just cool because to see her as a teacher even being able to have an impact. And the kids didn't know it was a Christian song, but she was still using that as an opportunity. So the other thing that I would like to strongly encourage for all of you and for all of us, you know, it can be challenging in the Christian community sometimes with this topic. It's a very hot topic, and everyone's very passionate and heated, not heated, but passionate about, you know, the choices you make for your kids. And it can be very divisive in a church and in a Christian community, and that can be hard. And there was a time years back where I felt somewhat isolated for the choices that we were making. I don't feel that way now. But just to be careful, there's actually, let me look it up, there's a blog that Tina Wilson, she goes to our church, and she homeschools, but she wrote a blog last summer, and it's excellent, and I would recommend everyone reading it. It's called How to Overcome Differences in Schooling Choices with Grace. And she talks about some of the real challenges that there are in the differences that we might have with the schooling of our kids, and how it can cause some relational differences, and yet how we can support one another in a really beautiful way, despite those differences, and just being supportive. I even think I look along this panel, and my daughter is friends with almost someone in almost every family up here, which I think is beautiful. Like, that's how it should be. We have Jesus in common, and how we're schooled should not matter as far as what our relationships are. Do you have anything else?
Go first. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mark Schreiber, Tiffany Schreiber. We have three girls, and I think we've done most every educational choice. So, moving on.
Done.
Done. They're all great. Really, I've been in education as a public school teacher, a charter school, public-funded charter school, right, Torgan? Charter school, and at the same time, we went to the American school in Japan. At the same time, we homeschooled.
Not
all at the same time, but we've done all those things. See, you should talk first. So we've tried a lot of different things, and I've seen a lot of kids come through my classes as a teacher, come through a building. I'm the director of a homeschool program now on Fridays, where I get 200 homeschool kids that come in and do enrichment. So I've seen that. And I really do think what you guys are all saying, it's involved parents, right? When your parents are involved, your kids are, they do well. You know, it's the kids at public school or at home school that don't have somebody in their life that's really rooting for them. That's, I think, more the problem than actually which choice you make, right? So let's just start there. I've seen that in all the different areas. I've seen that at American School in Japan. They had some phenomenal teachers, amazing education, well-funded school with amazing staff. And I've seen some of the kids were great and super focused on what they wanted to do and even spiritual in some ways. Maybe not Christianity, but some were, right? But what you saw was that they had something in their life that they were being encouraged with in their family. And so the same thing I've seen at Frontier, which is kind of like Liberty Commons here in town, but in Greeley, publicly funded charter school. And I've seen that in the homeschool world. And at the same time, I've seen kids kind of miss something in the homeschool world when they go through, because all they get is just one view. So I'm kind of weird, I guess, in that I like homeschool, but I also see its issues. And there are issues. I think you get a lot of entitlement as a family that just walks straight through, because you only have one principal in your life. It's your parent, right? And so there's something about submitting to authority and other people that's a good thing, and something that needs to be monitored and watched, and so once again, involvement. So that's kind of where the gist of what I'd say. We can talk more Q&A. On the heart, the reason we did things, I'll let Tiffany speak to that too. I mean, a lot of it was really just one year at a time. Things came up in our family that you know, a couple different things. we chose to go to Japan and then got to come back. And so... and then homeschooling really worked for medical stuff, and now we're thinking, okay, how do we kind of release them back into educational choices, maybe with a part-time program or Colorado Early College or stuff like that. So there's a lot of different things that you can do, and I really have seen a lot of them, and I respect everybody on the panel for all the different choices they do and whatever choices you guys do, but just stay involved and mentor your kids.
I'm Tiffany, and I would just add nothing really new. For me, though, as a mom, I think it's been the trying to find that balance. We've always tried to find the balance of building into their character, but also giving them a good education. And I think that's kind of at the crux of the challenge of trying to figure out what to do with our kids. Like Mark said, it's just been different. Every year we've just sat with that before the Lord, and every year we've It's been because of circumstances, really more for us. But I think that's been really good, though, because I'm definitely a person who, you know, like Kathy said, I just really wanted to do what everybody else was doing, and there was insecurity there, though. Like, I don't really think I can do a good job with the homeschooling piece of it. But I've walked through that. God's walked me through that, and so it's been a really great faith journey for me as we've educated our kids, and I think that's. Just a piece that I wanted to share. And then I think we said this, it's just been different with each kid. So circumstances, each kid has different needs, and you see things in them, and you know, we're thinking about putting our older two into something, but not our youngest, because she's just not quite ready. And when our oldest was that age, she probably would have been ready because of her personality and her character, and we just feel like Lily's got some stuff we need to work on at home, and we just aren't quite ready to release her in that way. And it's just always been that kind of thing with us, where we've just walked it out, and I would just reiterate too, none of us on the panel, that there's just one way. It's different with each family, it's different with each kid, and we all love the Lord, and we want him to do what he's going to do in our families with our kids, and yeah.
Well, my name's Jeff Shoemaker. It's my wife, Angie, and we have 5 kids. And kind of the backstory, I'll give my view of this, and then Angie can, she's got a slightly different perspective on some of it, so she can share hers. Our oldest is a junior right now, so our oldest two currently are actually at Liberty Common, which is great if the principal of the school also goes to your church, because you can be like, get in trouble, they're going to send you down to Mr. Lovely. So we always just use that as a big stick. But our oldest is a junior. Our son is a freshman. Next year, we'll actually have our third child going in as a freshman into Liberty as well. Currently, she's homeschooled. Our three younger are all homeschooled. And on Fridays, go to Mark's and Frontier and Greeley to their homeschool enrichment. So we use kind of a number of different tools, but all of our kids started off as homeschooling. So when I first became a Christian, I became a Christian when I was in high school, and the church that I attended at the time, I wouldn't say was by any means a big homeschooling church, but the two families that were really involved in discipling me, ironically, were, I think, one of the only two families in that school that actually homeschooled. And so in my view, it's these really spiritually strong people who I love and were really formative in my spiritual growth homeschooled their kids. And so that just became this thing that I sort of carried into marriage after Angie and I first got married. Yeah, it did. You can see how my public school choices worked out. After we first got married, we had this conversation about what we were going to do. Maybe it was before we were married, yeah. About what we were going to do with how we educated our kids. And she was like, well, clearly we're just going to put them into school. And I said, no, we're going to homeschool them, obviously, because that's what good Christians do. She wasn't as thrilled about that idea as I was. But over time, that kind of worked out. And I think a lot of it was there's a certain danger in just assuming something. And I think there can be there's times where we operate out of faith, which is what we want to do. There's times where we operate out of fear, which we don't want to do. But there's also times that we just operate out of assumption and convenience. And it's not necessarily bad if it's also with faith, but if we're just doing that because it's like the path of least resistance, then we probably at least need to check that and make sure, is that really the path that God wants us going down, or are we just doing something because it's the most comfortable and convenient for us? Homeschooling for us turned out to be a really great option in the early years, and we really enjoyed it. Mark kind of mentioned this. We started seeing some shortcomings in ourselves as parents and also in our kids, and what we were able to do with our kids as they got a little bit older. One of it was that one of our children was just pushing on faster and faster and faster, and we couldn't really keep up. So we were leaving her more and more on her own. And so we wanted to make sure she was getting the best education she could, and we wanted to afford her the best opportunities that she could be afforded. At the same time, she was really good interacting with us, and she was horrible interacting with people she didn't know. And so, you know, as we had conversations with her, she's like, I hope I never have to leave home. I just want to stay here the rest of my life. And I was like, dear Lord Jesus, please let that never be the case. And so there's a little bit of like, I need to push you out. And it's going to be uncomfortable for you. It's going to be uncomfortable for us. But I think it's going to be the best thing for you. And that's been really good for her, actually. And then kind of a corollary to that is at the same time as we were looking for her, it just worked out with our next son. We were struggling more with him in school. And it was just this battle every day where we were having to be the enforcers. More specifically, you were having to be the enforcer all day long as you taught. And it was just this constant fight. And then I was swooping in at the end of the day as I came home from work. And, oh, Dad's home and I'm done with school and he's my best friend. And that became a big kind of trying and wearing thing. And I think as we thought about it and prayed about it, some there's a lot of different options and a lot of different solutions to that problem. So I'm not saying ours is not the only way here. But one of the things that we just looked at and said, we think it'd be good for him to have some outside influence, people that he would respect because they're not his parents. And then we can come in and support him. But more than that, it enabled Angie to be his biggest advocate. So she could be the person who was rooting for him and being for him and helping him instead of being the person who just had to be the authoritarian. This is what you have to do. Why won't you listen to me? This is how we do this math problem. And no, you can't do it that way. Let somebody else who's going to respect a little bit more, at least, lay that hammer down. And so we decided to put him in and as well. So they both actually went into school at the same time, same year, different grades at the time. They've both been in public or in charter school now for 2 years. And that just ended up being a really positive thing for us and for them. We've seen a lot of good fruit in that. As we continued to pray about it and think about it, we weren't really sure when we were going to put other kids in, if we were going to keep homeschooling them, how long we'd keep homeschooling them. And that really has been a year-by-year thing for us. We've kind of talked about it some. We've had some general ideas of what we think we would do. And I think that just boils down to what works well for us and what's wisdom. And then we're kind of just matching that up to, hey, God, what are you? You know, these are our plans. We're going to submit them to you. Do they seem good? And even recently, like we had to, this year, as we talked about our next child going into school, we were debating a lot on whether we wanted to kind of keep pushing her forward. She's really young for her age. She's really young for her grade. Thank you.
I'm young for my age, too.
I'm young for my age. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So she's young for the grade she'd be going into. So we talked a lot about, do we want to hold her back another year? Did we want to put her forward? Did we want to keep homeschooling her another year and then move her in? There were a lot of options. We spent a lot of time talking with Mr. Lovely about it. So there's a lot of things to consider there. And even in that process, it's kind of shaped how we're thinking about it for our next kids. And that may continue to change as well. So there's just a lot of opportunities. So I guess what I would say is I would reiterate that a lot of times you are reconsidering that. And I think the plans that we had 15 years ago are different than the plans we had 10 years ago, which are different than the plans we had 2 years ago. And even in two more years, those plans may be different again. And so just being open and being willing to say, hey, this is what our children need right now, and we're going to go for it. And at the same time, I'd say a lot of it is about your kids, and we want to afford them the best opportunities. But there's also a certain aspect where we can veer too far to that extreme where we're idolizing our kids' education. And we're trying to give them the best thing. So for this kid, they need to be in this private school. And this kid over here, they need to be in this charter school over here. And this one needs to be homeschooled. And at the end of the day, you're running yourself crazy. At the end of the day, you got to pick an option that's going to work for you, work for your family. And again, submit that to God. I think ultimately he's the one who's going to see our kids all the way through in any situation. So before I give it to Angie, I'm just going to end with my kind of backstory and my anecdotal story. I had a lot of friends who I grew up, I went through public school, as we have clearly uncovered, my whole way through school. And I had a lot of friends, actually. When I was my sophomore year, I grew up in Greeley, and at that time, when you were a freshman, you still went to the junior high school. So when I was in the junior high school, I was a ninth grader, and almost all of my friends, close friends, went to the local private Christian school. And so I just really wanted nothing else than to go to school with them. Like, they were my friends. They were the people I hung out with all the time. I just wanted to go to school where they went to school. And so I made a huge pitch to my parents between the summer of my ninth and tenth grade year, when I would have been switching schools anyway. Made a big pitch for them to send me to the private Christian school in town.
You need flip charts and a presentation and everything.
Oh, yeah. I put more actual work into this than I did into my actual schooling. Because I just really wanted to go. Funny thing was, I wasn't a Christian. Most of my friends who went to that Christian school, they had a semblance of Christianity, but they weren't. None of them today are following Jesus. But on a very basic level, you might go, that was the best choice that your parents could have made for you. It's the best place to get a Christian education. And interestingly enough, my parents, I didn't know this at the time, but they actually did think about it a lot. They went and visited the school. At the end of the day, they decided not to put me in there. I was crushed, and I went to the public school I was going to go to. Interestingly enough, I kind of made a couple different connections and a couple different friends that next year, and my sophomore year was the year I became a Christian. And I can kind of point back to that period of time, those friends, and even the situations in my life then. And I've actually thought many times, I'm like, I wonder how God was just sovereignly working in the background saying, nope, you're not going to end up at that Christian school. To this day, none of those friends that I had have really strong relationships or any relationship at all with Jesus. But the friends that I had from high school that I ended up making, most of them are still following God and have really good and deep and solid relationships with Christ. So it's just interesting that, you know, even not that I was making that decision because it was the best one for my, you know, spirituality, but my parents could have made that decision. They chose not to. And at the end of the day, I think my relationship with Jesus is as existent as it is because of that decision. So.
All right. My background in education was different from Jeff's. We both grew up in Greeley, a block away from each other. Didn't know each other until...
College.
For the first 8 years of my school, I went to a private Christian school in Greeley. A really small one that was a part of the ministry of the church that I went to. The first 6 years of those, when it first started up, it was a first through 12th grade school. They didn't have a kindergarten. And I went there first through sixth grade. And then when I was going to go into seventh grade, because numbers were falling down, they eliminated the seventh through 12th grade at the school. And they were just first through, they were just an elementary school. That same year, they hired my mom to be the principal of that school. So my younger siblings were still going to that school, and my parents decided to keep me at the school, even though there wasn't a seventh grade. So for seventh and eighth grade, I was at the school, but I was the only person in my grade, and I kind of did my classes in the library all by myself, watching videos, and then my mom would check my work. So in effect, I was homeschooled at my mom's workplace. So I had those 2 years where... and then, you know, like for recess and lunch and art and stuff, I was with other kids and like the sixth graders. And it worked well too because my parents started me in first grade when I was 4 years old. Because that was the only thing they could think to do with me because I'd started to read when I was one and a half. So they were just like, help. So I was the same age as the sixth graders even when I was in eighth grade. So that worked. And then in ninth grade, my parents were trying to figure out where to put me because they're like, this isn't going to work to keep her in a library by herself. And they ended up enrolling me in the public school in Greeley. And so ninth through 12th grade, I went to the public schools in Greeley. For college, I went to UNC. I got my degree in history education. And I knew that God was calling me to be a teacher. And so then... I did my student teaching at the high school where Jeff and I attended high school. He was still in high school when I was doing my student teaching. We didn't meet until the year after that.
Caught my girlfriend, so that's awkward.
Yeah. And I was pretty sure that I was going to be a public school teacher, that's what I wanted to do. I applied. I didn't get any jobs in any public schools, but I did get hired as the junior high teacher at the Christian school that I originally went to in the first place. So then for 5 years, I taught junior high at that Christian school. God called. In the midst of teaching there, Jeff and I got married. God called us to Fort Collins to do a church plant. So I moved to Fort Collins. I worked at CSU not teaching for a year. And then we had our first child, and I we felt like God was calling me to stay home. So I had background, and my mom was the principal of that Christian school. She was a teacher there. When that school closed down, she went and taught at the other big private Christian school in Greeley, where she is still an English teacher there. She has a huge heart for Christian education. So I have kind of experience with Christian education, with homeschool-ish myself, with public school. That's my background. I had a ton of friends who went through Christian school the whole way. I had a bunch of friends that I made in public school, and I had the same families that were at the church that Jeff talked about that homeschooled. They also were really key in discipling me. So I had the advantage of, as I grew up, watching people go through all these different systems. And if there's something that I can say with certainty is there is no formula, there is no magic bullet for raising your children to love God in terms of your educational choices. Some of those homeschool kids are not following God. Some of the public school kids are not following God. Many of the Christian school kids are not following God. Where you send your kids to school is not going to determine their salvation. God is a faithful God, and He has a plan for your children, and He'll be faithful to lead you. And your trust should be in Him and not in your educational choice that you make for your kids. He is what is faithful for our children. So when Jeff and I were engaged, we did have this big conversation about when we have children, how many should we have, you know, all those conversations you're having. And he was very, very clear that we were going to homeschool our children. And I was just as clear that we would absolutely never, ever homeschool our children. I do believe that the words, and I didn't use these language, not a chance in hell, I said. I was very strong. And part of my feeling was because I had seen kids come into my classroom who had been homeschooled, and they came into my situation usually because their parents were very deficient in schooling them. And I saw a lot of deficiency in homeschool that I did not want for my children. And that's not true of homeschooling in general. But my experience was that. I also didn't want my children to be educated in the public school. I felt that it was, at least in where we were raised, I didn't feel like it gave a quality education. And I didn't want my kids in Christian school because I felt like it inoculated them to Christianity, from my experience. So basically I said,
no schooling.
No
for
school.
Us.
Go to the library.
Yeah. Just stick them in a library, they'll be fine. I was kind of stuck. So then we had children, and I didn't want to think about it. People would be like, I remember somebody when our oldest was two, so are you thinking about school? I'm like, what? No, she's two. I don't have to think about it. And it was my sin, but I didn't want to think about it. It was kind of inconvenient and uncomfortable for me. When our daughter turned four, she started bugging me all the time. What does that say? What does that say? What does that say? What does that say? And then also with math, just numbers and doing things with numbers, and she was driving me crazy. At the time she was four, my son was two, I had a one-year-old. I didn't feel like I had any time or any mental space. So I thought, I need to teach this girl to read and to do things with numbers so she'll get out of my hair. It was very godly motivation there. So I knew the curriculum that I taught at the Christian school that I'd been teaching at. I was very comfortable and familiar with it. I taught junior high. I had no idea what to do with little kids. My educational experience in college was all for secondary school. And a side note, I want a degree with Torgan. I would sit through my education classes in college and go, this is ridiculous and wrong and dumb, and I don't know why, but I know it doesn't work. And that's just a side note that I remembered. But I thought, well, I'll just get the kindergarten curriculum from, Abeka was the curriculum that they used at the school that I taught at. So I'm like, I know it. I'm comfortable with it. I'll just get it. I'm sure it will help me teach her to read, and then we'll be good. I don't have to think about it. She's not five yet. So I got the kindergarten curriculum. She flew through the reading. I mean, she just flew through the whole kindergarten curriculum when she was just barely four. And then I was like, oh, she's turning five. I need to think about kindergarten for her. And she already knew how to read. She was doing math at like a first grade level. I thought, I have just ruined my child. I can't put her into kindergarten. She's going to be completely bored. What have I done? And then I thought, well, that wasn't so hard. I didn't think of it as homeschooling. I was like, well, it wasn't hard. We'll just do it again. I'll just get the first grade stuff, and we'll keep doing that. So I always like to say I just accidentally started homeschooling. I don't think it was an accident. I think God had it very specific and deliberately. That was how he led me to where I was. I ended up just each of my children, when they were four, went through the same thing. It was like a insane readiness and eagerness to learn. And so each of my children, when they were four, I started them in kindergarten stuff at home. So they've all been kind of early for their grade.
Or their age.
Or their age. And so it just kept kind of building until a few years ago I was homeschooling all of my children. The oldest four were in various grades, and my youngest was hitting that four-year-old point where he was wanting to read, so I was doing reading stuff with him. And I kind of, at that point, it was just something, I developed an educational philosophy along the way because I needed to. I started accidentally homeschooling, but I'm like, I need to know why I'm doing this, where I'm aiming them, what's going on. So I kind of went about it backwards. I don't recommend it, but it is what God had for me. One book that I found very helpful as I was trying to go, what am I doing, was The Well-Trained Mind by Susan Wise Bauer. It helped me form a kind of an understanding or a philosophy of education in terms of more of a classical understanding of the kind of developmental stages of children that made a ton more sense than anything I ever learned in education in my 4 years of college. And it felt true to the real world experience I'd had with children all throughout. What am I missing? I think one of the things I grew to love things about homeschooling, I grew to see deficiencies in homeschooling. I think one of the things when we decided to send our oldest hit a point when she was in eighth grade that we were like, she needs, because she is so dependent on us, she needs to be in a situation where she's learning from other people, where she's around other people, where she's being exposed to a wide variety of views and experiences, but is still in our home where we can have these conversations with her, because up until that point, we'd kind of figured we'd homeschool all the way and then send them off into college. And we hit a point where we realized with her specifically that wasn't going to be helpful and beneficial in her spiritual walk with God. Jeff felt it even more strongly than I did. I had a hard time letting go. But we knew that for her relationship with God and for her ability to claim her faith as her own, that is what she needed. And that was one of the biggest reasons that we explored beyond homeschool for her. And also, just to reiterate what Jeff said with our son, he hit a point, and I do believe from hearing other experienced parents, sons, especially with their moms, hit a point where they start pushing back against that mom's authority as they start entering into kind of puberty or pre-puberty. I think it's a natural thing. It doesn't mean that the moms can't teach but it is something that happens as boys start to go, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a leader? It happens, and it happened with our boy, and he just hit my authority head on. We're both very strong-willed, and it didn't work very well. So we made the decision in faith to release him as well so that I could be his cheerleader. I could be his mom and not his adversary, because it hit to a point where it wasn't just I was his authority. He was seeing me as an adversary that had to be fought against at all times, and that wasn't helpful. So for the sake of our relationship, and because we felt like it would be very beneficial for him to learn from male authority figures, we stuck him in Liberty at the same time we stuck our... Thankfully, there was an opening in Liberty so that we can enroll him in Liberty at the same time we enrolled our daughter.
Okay, well, I'm Anthony. This is my wife, Sam. some background on us in terms of where we come from. Our family's got some wackiness to it, but neither of us grew up in Christian homes. Both grew up non-Christian homes, going to standard non-charter public schools. both came to Christ in college. Both of us were pretty disillusioned with our experience in public school. Felt like it was pretty weak education in our experience, and it's not what we wanted. And so early in our relationship, when we were dating, engaged, after we got married, we were pretty convicted that we wanted to homeschool. And Sam, even though it wasn't necessarily her bent, Sam's never been a fan of young kids, as she'll explain. even her college training in human development was more focused on secondary, adolescence. But we had a pretty strong conviction that we were gonna homeschool. One of the things we did early on that was really helpful for us, that was a good tool, is we went through this book called 100 Ways to Homeschool.
Well, it's a curriculum recommendation book, which I didn't even read that part. But
yeah. But the thing about the book is, regardless of even what avenue you're going to choose, it helped us kind of sort through our own philosophy. And so because actually the book has this test, and I don't know, it's like 50, 100 questions or whatever, and you can go through it, and based on how you take the quiz, it'll show you kind of where you land in terms of educational philosophies. And so it was helpful for us because we both landed strongly on classical education. And so we started down that path. I'll let Sam explain more, but so we try to educate our kids in the Christian classical mindset. Now, there's a spectrum there, obviously, even within Christian classical. But just think, you know, the easiest way to understand it is the trivium in terms of heavy memory work early on, rhetoric, and then learning to ask the questions and learning to communicate. And then, dialectic is that, and then rhetoric. and so we said we'd take it a year at a time going on, moving ahead. But we said that about a couple things. We said we'd take it one kiddo at a time too, and that didn't quite work out. So this is the other part where our family is a little different. We have 5 kids, but our kids are all within 4 years. So
less than 4 years.
So we have right now we have a 13-year-old, 2 11-and-a-half-year-olds, and 2 9-year-olds. So we were compressed. What we liked about classical is that the system that we were using, especially once we got into classical conversations at the time, was everybody was kind of going through the same kind of rigor. And so just at different levels. So so that was helpful for us, as well as it fitting kind of with our bent anyway. And I think, you know, at the beginning, my mindset was, I will probably homeschool and try to get them through junior high. Junior high is rough in terms of what I remember and seeing other kids go through in terms of junior high. But I think now we're probably more committed than ever than just carrying it all the way through. Now, we did
say we were going to have one kid at a time.
Yeah. So maybe that'll change in a year. so we did classical conversations, which, you know, you meet once a week. They break off into their different age groups. And we did that for a while. Then a couple years ago, we were even crazier, and we broke off with a bunch of families and built our own thing. And we're essentially wrapping up writing our own curriculum for that. But it's the same framework. So the kids show up Wednesdays. They're with their age groups. They kind of get introduced to their memory work. They have presentations. We can do things as a group that are different than what you can do at home in terms of science experiments and observational skills, artwork, things like that. Afternoon is more writing skills. Junior high, high school level is more all day, much more intense, much more dependent upon engagement with each other, taking on different viewpoints, learning to work through ideas. So I think I'll leave it at that.
How do you do that? Oh. Okay. So So like Anthony said, I'm really terrified of young children, which is funny because God gave me five all at once. And so I actually came from a point that I didn't even really want to be a mother. So I wanted to have kids, but I didn't want to mother them. I wanted to have a career, and I wanted to have a nanny. That's what I wanted. So I started down that path in college, got saved. God was like, well, maybe let's not have these. He just gradually and graciously changed my viewpoint, but I'm still kind of scared of little kids. and so, so we had all these babies, and we had been really, so I graduated at the top of my class and nearly failed biology. And I was like...
In high school.
Yeah, so in high school. But then, you know, freshman biology, I'm like, this is so hard. And I was like, but I did good in school. How come this is so hard? It's like, this education, I did not get a good education. So I think in the beginning, my motivation, I should say, at least for homeschooling, was like, I don't want my kid to think that they're all, like, really smart and then almost fail biology. I'm like, they're going to be smart kids. So that was sort of my initial, like, I really cared about the quality of their education in the beginning. And like Anthony said, we did that survey and was like, oh, we really like this idea of classical education. And at first I thought I was appreciative of the spectrum of it. But what I actually really love about it is that it's an education, like Torgan said, of freedom. Teaching people to be thinking people, teaching people to be know what questions to ask, exposing a person to ideas, and being able to think through those ideas through history, through poetry, through all of these truth, goodness, and beauty, and be able to go, I see God's faithfulness through all of this. I like The Well-Trained Mind. I really like, there's a book called Awakening Wonder by Stephen Turley. Of just, so for me, when our one of our children had cancer, what really solidified, it solidified God's goodness in my life. Like, I believed he was good after my daughter had cancer, which is kind of weird. But it was because I had all of these moments of just awe and wonder. And I wanted my kids to have that in their education. I wanted my kids to have these times where they saw, so they learned about all of these things, and then they, at some point, they put them all together and go, oh, that's amazing. Only God can do that. So I really like Torgan's questions. What's the purpose of an education, and what is the philosophy of that system? I think those are really good things to consider, because I really believe that education is largely discipleship, not just skill training, not just job training, it's discipleship. And I really believe that education is not just meant to be informative, but I believe education is meant to be transformative. And some parents can share that very well with a different system. Absolutely, you can share that. And some parents can't. And I think if God is calling you to homeschool or whatever God calls you to, whether it be homeschooling or public schooling or charter schooling or like we school in community. And so part of this school that we started is really wonderful because honestly, I'm not very disciplined. I would produce very deficient homeschooled children because I'm not very disciplined. But an aspect of community and accountability helps me make sure that my kids are getting what they need to do. It provides them friendships. It provides them authorities outside of me. They have teachers, and I can share that authority with them and partner with them. And I appreciate that. But I just think what is most whether it be educational choices or whatever God, is asking you to do, he's going to give you the grace to walk it. Like, if he asks you to say, okay, your daughter has cancer, here. he gave us the grace to walk through that. If he's calling you to homeschool, he's going to give you the grace. If he's calling you to give it up and put your kids in school, he's going to give you the grace for it. And I think we just have to continually recognize that he is the leader, and we want to be following him in that. So I think that's all I want to say. Oh.
I think the one other thing, a key that a reason why we homeschooled, not just because of we had poor education, but also because of character. We wanted to have what for us was a more active role in the development of their character. So, and then I think what a lot of folks have been saying, and I'll wrap up with this, that I would almost summarize, I think each of us has said this in a different way, is that don't just default to your decision. You know, I've seen families default to homeschool. I've seen people default to public school, and it's more difficult. Walk in your convictions and be confident. You know, I think like each of us as parents have our own passions that God has given us, and those passions are going to be imparted to our kids. And those passions are important, right? Because if we go against those passions and how we parent, it's very challenging. You know, so, you know, my kids, they're passionate about March Madness because I'm passionate about March Madness. But also they like our Bible times, reading the Bible together, because I do it in a way that gets me fired up. And so I think just think about that in terms of education, what your philosophy is, and then walk in those convictions with confidence, you know, and don't yield to pressures that are not from Christ.
Yes.
So,
I'm Jim, and this is Jen, my wife, and I just want to say amen to what you just said. That is exactly what I would say as well. And so I have way too much material, and it's well along the way, so I'll cut myself off in 10 minutes, and then Jen has a few things she wants to add as well. But I think it's important that we start with our ideals, and then we let the filter of life lead us to the practical realities, rather than short-circuiting right to the practical realities and never exploring our ideals. Hmm. And so a lot of what I'm going to say are more philosophy-type things. A lot of times people want to know how our home works, and I always want to say, well, just because we believe this way and we try to do these things, we aspire. And they want to know, well, no, practically, what do you do? Like, yeah. No, that's not where my mind's at, you know? I guess the thing I'd start with is, similar to some others, God commands us to make disciples. And we're part of this church for that reason. That's the number one thing. He also says that he wants us to talk about him when we rise up, when we lie down, everything we do throughout the day. Jesus said that he chose 12 disciples so they could be with him. And so I have been taught in this church that the way you make disciples is have them with you. And so that's a big part of why we've kept our children with us as much as we have, is we're trying to disciple and we're trying to follow that example of how we disciple. I think you can't separate anything from schooling from parenting. Parenting choices and schooling choices are the same thing in our family. So I think starting there, you have to know what your authority is before God, and what authority God and responsibility God has put on you. And that is in contrast to what authority God gives the church and what authority God gives the government. And so I think at the end of the day, I have to answer to God for my children in every way during the time that they're in my home. And I think my responsibility more or less ends when they get married. So one of the things that's really hard about our family is we don't really follow the school year. We don't really follow grades. And I don't really recognize the artificial boundaries that people say, 18 years old, they're now an adult, you let them go. my responsibility for God is get them to the point where they leave home, and then when they're married, you know, God says they now are married and they have their responsibility and authority to each other and under him in their new home. I think another thing that's about a philosophy is parenting is not just about expressing authority, but it's about expressing love. But authority gives boundaries, and that allows love to be expressed better. And so children are happier within those boundaries. And healthy love is found within boundaries. So I think that's a really critical point to us and how we approach this. And I guess the next thing I want to address is oftentimes we think educational choices start at around age 4 or 5 when people begin to think about this. And we miss the fact that God hardwires our children to start to learn from us in utero. And they are picking up cues, and they are learning as a matter of fact the entire time until they're no longer around us. And so our educational choices are as much about our lifestyle. Our educational choices are as much about how we approach running our home. And then schooling type choices really are very much of a subset of those bigger choices of life. So I think what we see is if the aim is to have, quote unquote, educated children at the end of the time they're under our influence, what we're really seeking to do is to make sure that all of life, all of the experience of life is learning and is purposeful and is leading to an end that's worthwhile. Now, I must admit that God gives us a lot of mundane things, including our drives and our kids to be entertained and to fulfill their interests, that results in education. And so you wouldn't call your kids wanting to play video games education, but it really is. It is actually education. It just may not be the education you want them to have, but it is actually education. And so 24/7, you're educating your children all the time, and that's the reality. No matter what you put your kids in school or not, it's just that way. So that's kind of a background, and then now in terms more of aspirations. And I think the number one thing is we want our kids to love Jesus and to fall in love with him. And I'm sure that's true of everyone up here and everyone in this room. We want him to know him as a person and to not think of him just as a source of wisdom or knowledge. And so I think that leads us to try to be open with our relationship with God to our children and try to be open with our lives in that way. And so, yeah, catching our love for Jesus by having them be around it and be exposed to it is a huge part of that. It's really important to have your kids have a work ethic. To me, that's loving Jesus, number one, work ethic, number two, because they'll teach themselves, they'll learn, or they'll adapt to situations if they have a work ethic, rather than me having to teach them an outcome. And so having good character, not giving up easily, whatever, is really the objective here. You know, the Bible says it's good for a man to bear a burden in his youth. One of the things I was able to do was grow up in a greenhouse, and my dad grew tomatoes in the greenhouse. And what he recognized was he would put the tomatoes outside when they were really, really small seedlings in particular weather circumstances so that the stems of the tomatoes would be thicker. And if you just kept them in the greenhouse the whole time, they would be spindly, they would grow really high, but they wouldn't produce nearly as much fruit. And I just think we talked about, everyone here pretty much talked about being intentional. That's an example of intentional parenting. You choose difficult circumstances to put your children through as a way of achieving an outcome. And so as much as you can, I mean, sometimes I do this intentionally, and sometimes God reminds me when I'm praying for my children, or reminds me to pray for my children, what's right, what's not right about the children right now? What's working, what's not working, and what do you need to do to adjust? And it's constantly being that intentional check on what you're doing. Equally important with those first two I've talked about is we want our children to have their own families, to desire to have a spouse, and to be successful in raising their own generation. And so one of the ways we accomplish that is we don't hide our drive and desire for each other from our children. And we try to expose them to our love for each other and our desires to be with each other all the way from their little to their big, and try to not make that awkward in any way. To me, that's a huge part of education as well, is that the outcome in the family in that respect. We try to have integrated learning across life, not compartmentalized learning. A lot of schooling leads to compartmentalization. And so we try to focus our children to think about the things in life we're thinking about. So if I'm thinking about money decisions, I try to expose my kids to those money decisions. If I'm thinking about politics, I'll run through political discussions with my children. So we're constantly just trying to involve them in all of the life parts that we have to live with in order to run our lives the way we run them. And then all of life is about allocation of resources and time and our energy and our influence. And so a big part of that is choosing friends and mentors for our children. So we are very intentional about that aspect of their life. Now, that doesn't mean that we are against having peers or against having a lot of friends that are their own age, but we try to be somewhat intentional about it, including exposing them to people that are not necessarily good for them. So I liked what some of the people were saying here about just knowing what you're doing rather than defaulting into it. So what does the Bible say? He that walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. You're going to put your children in circumstances where there's a bunch of fools, and they're going to harm your children, and your children might be one of the fools harming other children. You know, that's just the reality of life. But so long as you're intentionally embracing the conflicts and the potential effects of all of that, I think it can be a good outcome and allows you to continue parenting. And I guess the last comment I'll make, and then I'm running out of time. Basically, I have 4 pages of notes. I'm 1.5 pages into it. but I would say one of the big things for us, too, is we really value the phases of life and trying to make sure that we know what's most important and not get the things that are not important to become the drivers of life. So, for example, we really value sleep. A lot of kids are sleep deprived or suffer anxiety or depression because they're driven to a schedule that's driven by other people. Now, I recognize you have to get up early and work hard at various stages of your life, but that's an example of we're driven so much by our society to do things that are not necessarily that natural. So I developed this 3-tiered system of things you have to make sure that you're doing everything right in tier one before you really can do tier two or tier three appropriately. And so I picked the tier one expression my grandma used to say, be a human. And so things like keeping a regular schedule, dressing appropriately to the weather, brushing your teeth, things that basically define whether or not you can be just effective as a human being in whatever circumstance you're in. And having human contact, like some of my kids really want to be recluses. Well, you drive them out of that. And some people want to be sociable all the time, and you pull them back from it. And it's just you're constantly trying to help them understand this is what's healthy. And then the second one is contribute, working, having an intentionality about your life, managing your money, your resources, et cetera. And then the third one is about enjoying life. Well, our kids will want to be tier three all the time. And so what we're doing in education is as much about tier one and tier two. Many of my kids, they really were frustrated with me when I kept referring back to this. But then when they get exposed to teenage friends or college-age friends, they recognize, oh, that person's way off in tier one, or well, that one's way off in tier two. It's like it is a way that you can see what's effective about becoming a mature adult that's capable of contributing. So I'll stop myself. Out of respect to y'all.
So I'll just give a quick little background. Jim didn't mention that he was homeschooled in the 70s and 80s all the way up until college. And so in an academic sense and I think in a human sense, that's been successful for Jim. So, and then I went to
Catholic school in elementary and then public school. And I was pretty much a de facto, you know, standard. I skated through. It wasn't hard. I just did the bare minimum to get through in academics, and I enjoyed my social world. And my parents pretty much left me to do that. So when I got to college, I was in that just, you know, get on the treadmill. I went to college because I didn't know what else. Of course you go to college. But I met Jim when I was 18, you know, right my first weekend of college. And we ended up starting our family quite early. I had two kids while I was still in college. So I went in elementary education because I loved kids and I was interested in human development. And so I thought, sounds like a good thing. But then I had my first baby, and it was because of her that I got saved, because when she was about 3 or 4 months old, it just came to the realization that I had skated through on everything, but I can't do that as a parent, because this is everything. This is absolutely everything, and I will not skate through on being a mother. And I realized that it's our responsibility to bring our children to the feet of the cross, and it's God's responsibility to save them, because he's already done it, you know. But I wasn't going to go halfway on that. And so I realized that I didn't want to teach other people's kids. I wanted to be with mine, you know. So I went back in psychology because it was the easiest way for me to get my credits and whatnot. And I focused on human development still, which I still find fascinating. And then as time came along and it got closer to schooling, because when I heard he was homeschooled, I'm like, well, you're kind of a freak, you know. And especially then, it wasn't nearly as common back then. In fact, Jim's family was the first legal family in his state in the 80s, and they had a lot of pressure on them. So anyway, I just thought it'll never happen with me because I was on that de facto mentality. And anyway, so as our first got older and I started processing through, well, I definitely didn't want to put them in public school. I knew that from mostly from my own experiences. But I'd started, you know, looking into different Christian schools and this version or that version. And I went to a number of open houses, and he all along wanted to homeschool, but he was very gracious in giving me the space to explore that and come to my own feelings and convictions about that. And he just gave me a lot of gracious space on that. And eventually I came to this decision, you know, I thought, well, it'd be great to put this kid in this school and we could afford one or two in elementary. You know, at the time we didn't think we'd have seven, you know, but we knew we wanted to have more. And so I thought all the way through high school with 3 or 4 kids, it just doesn't seem feasible to be able to afford that. And so I thought, I'll give kindergarten a chance at the start, you know. And 3 months into it, I was so thankful, and just I didn't ever look back, you know. And I came to a realization that not only did I not want to teach other people's kids, but I didn't want other people doing the bulk of the teaching to my kids. And so it was just kind of, you know. And I absolutely believe that God will save our children no matter where they're at. He calls people, I mean, he called people in the Warsaw ghetto. He calls people in the LA ghettos. He calls people in Beverly Hills private schools. I don't care where you at, he'll call you. That's not your job as a parent. But I personally feel that being with my kids is relational, and it's a joy. It's a joy for me. It's a joy for them and I don't want to miss out on that. So that's kind of where I came on that. So, anyway.
Right there. Well, thank you. Paul, do you have more?
Yeah, but we'll stop.
All right. Thank you all for sharing.